Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Who's, man?
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Good afternoon, families and friends. This is M.A. Scott on the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. And we, again, once again, promise you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show. You know, today we're going to talk about something that I hope everybody had a chance to check it out this past week in the newspaper, but we're talking about the NCAA's approval of a new reform, something they're going to try differently here. And supposedly this was approved last weekend, went into effect, but you're not hearing a whole lot of buzz about it. And I haven't heard a whole lot of buzz about it. I've seen it in the newspaper, but I haven't really heard sports media folks really talking about it, and I'm kind of concerned. I'm kind of interesting and in wanting to know exactly what's everybody's take on this and how successful they think it's actually going to be. But as always, you know, I'm not going to start my show without first giving my man, Mr. Keith Wright, a few minutes to do his thing. Where you at, Keith? Talk to me.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
You know, like I always say, my man, Mr. Keith Wright, he's bringing it to us from the University of Harvard, and he's making smart cool. You probably heard ESPN talk about Harvard this year, and Keith being one of the key pivotal points at that program up there this year. So, you know, when they did the media days for the various conferences, that they talked about Harvard. Keith was definitely one of the ones on the scene, and face was right there in the camera, and big props to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, as always. But like I said, what we're going to talk about here today, we're going to talk about, the NCAA. You know, back on October 27, which was last Thursday, the NCAA Division I Board of Directors approved this reform. And this reform talks about a couple of key issues that we've probably been talking about on the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network over the last few years or so. And I know I've been sharing this information with parents as well, but they decided to narrow down a few things and make a few things a little bit more transparent for all of us to see and understand. And that's a good thing. Now, I would say a lot of that had to do with the pressure that they received from some of the things that was out there in the media, you know, as far as the number of violations that we had over the last year or so, you know, all these violations kept popping up left and right. And in addition to that, how some of these other agencies and organizations have went after and started questioning the NCAA's motive. So some of the areas that they talked about, and it was approved last Thursday, like I said, October 27th, that they will decide to add more money to scholarships. In other words, you've probably seen it in the news where they're talking about now giving these Division I players, you know, additional $2,000. Now, how that's going to actually play in and how folks are actually going to divvy up those funds is yet to be seen. And I'm quite sure it's probably going to go into effect probably in 2012 or 2013. I'm not sure, and I haven't heard anything where they're actually going to try to do this right away, although the funds are probably available, but they've yet to figure out the details of it. So it'll probably be some time for, you know, young men and women start seeing that additional $2,000. The second thing that they talked about, and we're going to dig a little bit more into each one of these here in a second, but the second thing they talked about and had a unanimous decision on was adding multiple years to the scholarships. Now, that has been something that has been on the mind of the Parents, Coaches, and Parents Network and other organizations, like-minded organizations out there for a number of years. And what I'm talking about there is, you know, we had the situation where the scholarships was 1 year at a time, renewable each and every year. You had to renew your scholarship each and every year. And in a lot of cases, if the athlete is not performing or if he or she has had some problems, then there was a possibility that that scholarship was not going to be renewed. Of course, the coach would let them know and all that old kind of stuff. But, you know, you think about 1 minute to young man or young lady is out there on the field of the court or wherever, playing, enjoying, having the time of their life, and next thing you know, the scholarship is not being renewed. We're going to dig a little bit more into that here in a second. Last but not least, area of concern coming out of this reform is the summer basketball recruiting. Summer basketball recruiting model. And they're going to definitely have to do something to revise that, because that has gotten to the point where that's out of control. You have too many moving parts in this one process. It's not only coaches nowadays, it's other folks acting as agents or acting as advisors or acting as mentors or summer coaches or AAU coaches or whatever title they want to add on to it, have added into this here process, and as a result, it's got rather messy. So the NCAA now is looking at trying to revise that. So hopefully they're going to be able to do something about that. But that being said, that are the three areas that they just decided to address. And when they decided to address those three areas, they came back and said, okay, I think we need to do something about that. All right, the first one, like I said, first one being adding money into the scholarship process. You know, they're talking about adding an additional $2,000 in spending money. Okay, that is in addition to whatever else they may currently get. And this measure was approved by the conference, by the conference president or board, and passed on to the conference, or allowing the conference to add this additional $2,000. And they're trying to stay away from the point of the pay-to-play thoughts or conversation that's out there. You know, why are we paying the kids to play? You know, if you look at it on a realistic side, these athletes, on an average, will probably spend more than that $2,000, roughly, during their college time that they're out there. You know, during the time that they're actually in school, they'll probably spend more than that $2,000. They say that the average student pays roughly $3,000 to $4,000 out of his or her pocket college costs. You know, because if you think about it, some of those athletes are not on what we may call a full scholarship. You know, they may be on partial scholarship. They may, you know, think about it. You have, you know, the basketball team or the football team. Of course, you know, they get their little meal plan and all that kind of stuff. But what if they need, you know, additional laundry soap to make sure that they're prepared for the next game's practice? Some schools take care of that for the athletes, and some schools, you know, some of your basic necessities as far as your underwear, socks, jocks, things like that, you know, that may not be included in one of the things that the school actually take care of. So as a result, if the school decides to take care of that for them, hygiene items, things like that, I don't see any problem with that. That $2,000 is not a major dent in anybody's pocket, and you can't say that the $2,000 is a substantial enough of money to say that, okay, now they're being paid to play. Because $2,000, if you look at the number of games from a basketball perspective, that $2,000 don't even barely $10 a game, you know, $100 a game or whatever. You know, it's not $100 a game, because you figure the average basketball team plays on average 30 games a season. So, but there are some, of course, some watchdogs out there to make sure that this doesn't get blown out of proportion, and, you know, there are some things in place to make sure that this is being done fairly and across the board. You know, but many folks actually believe that this here is long overdue, and I would agree with them wholeheartedly. You know, you can always give us a call today if you want to chime in. You can reach us at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments here today on the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. You know, the next subject they talked about was extending the scholarship terms. You know, like I said, scholarships went from 1 year at a time. Each year, the individual student had to renew his or her scholarship. And what happens if he or she didn't make the grade? Or, you know, worst case scenario, and I hate to say it this way, but it's a reality. If the coach decided that he thought player X wasn't performing to his or her liking, and as a result, a young freshman coming in, player Y, he didn't have a scholarship for that player, but he wanted that player. So is it really fair to say that that coach is going to get rid of this player so he can bring in another player? You know, you look at the money that these coaches are making. Let's be realistic about this here. You look at the amount that these coaches are making. I'm talking about some of these big-name coaches that you see on TV on a regular basis. And look at some of the funds that these coaches are bringing in. These coaches should be able to, if you're that good of a coach, I'm talking about coaching, you're able to train, instruct, motivate, drive, you know, get the best out of every player that you put your hands on. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's being said about you day to day, week to week on the television screen. So if you're able to do all that and you have that type of influence, then why would you at any point in time get rid of a player? Why not use some of your talents and your skills to make that player better, work with that player? That's the whole purpose. And, you know, that's one thing that I thought about when my son was going through the recruiting process, and I tell this to other parents all the time. I say, you know, especially dads, I say, hey, you know, if you're talking about your son, you want to turn your son over to somebody that's going to develop your son over the next 3 to 4 years, not just use him or her to go out there and play the game, and then when that eligibility is done, you discard them like they're a piece of trash or something. You want to put your son in the hands of someone that's going to develop your child over the next 3 or 4 years. And if they're not there to develop your child, please, please, please reconsider looking at another school. You know, you have to get that true gut feeling about this person that you're turning your child over to. You know, if you got a bad feeling with that, and your son or daughter determined that they want to go to that particular school, and you're not really feeling it, I would suggest, and you know, there's others that's in our network that also have suggested the same thing, then you need to make sure that you remain visible at that institution as much as possible to make sure that your child is being taken care of. I know the child is going through some growing pains, and he or she's not going to like everything, but you know when your child is not being treated right. You know when your child is not comfortable in that setting but just going through the motions. You know all those things because you got to remember something, and I hope you all remember this and put this in the front burner of your head each and every day, that is your child. That's the child that you raised over the last 16, 17, 18 years. That coach has only became familiar with that child over the last year or two, if that, and in some cases less time than that. So you want to turn your child over to someone that's going to look out for the best interest of your child. That's why I'm so excited about this year, multiple scholarship years, because now the children are locked in there. Now, what we also have to remember, too, there's some bad eggs out there, but I'm not going to look at that from that perspective. I'm going to look at it from the perspective of if that coach is that good, then he can coach that child up to where he wants him to be. He may not be the starting player that year. He may not be the starting player the next year. But in some point in time, again, if that coach is that good with the amount of money that you're being paid, then you will probably be able to get in there and do something wonderful with that child. That's what I'm talking about. Well, you know, it looks like I have a caller here. Let's go to the air and see what the caller has to say.
Hello.
Good morning, caller. You're on the line with the Parents Coach Parent Network.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Mike Scott, this is Robert Vaughn. How are you?
Yes, sir.
I was chiming in on what you were saying regarding the NCAA changes. Now, that's across the board in all sports?
Well, right now it's been approved at the Division I level. Division I has mainly went with that change, and that came out last Thursday. So,
okay.
You know, normally as it follows suits, once Division I picks up some reform, then Division II will normally jump on and do something different, and Division III will probably try to chime in as well.
Okay, I see. Now I have a point to make with actually all your topics, but I guess there's not a lot of time. So I'd like to talk about the whole scholarship portion of this. And,
okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, the scholarships, as far as the students are concerned, I feel that these kids getting $2,000 is really is sort of like an insult, you know, because I mean these kids are they're sacrificing a lot when they sign a contract, because that's what they're doing, they're signing a contract, and they're going to these universities and they should be prepared to get a quality education, but at the same time there's a lot that's expected of these athletes outside of the classrooms. And their life is really controlled by, you know, that whole athletic perspective while they're in there. And these kids are also held to a different standard, you know, than your average student population at the school. You know, so I feel like these kids they deserve to get, you know, 4-year scholarships, you know, some sort of guarantee on a 4-year scholarship, you know, based on them signing a contract to come, you know, to the universities. Now anyone that's been to school know that $2,000 is not going to last you very long. That kind of money is something that's going to probably take a kid through, you know, maybe a semester or so. Now I'm not sure whether they're allocating that $2,000 for, you know, for the entire 4 years or whether it's for, you know, each year that they're there. You know, but it's been reported that, you know, at some institutions, you know, that gap is about, you know, $11,000 to $13,000. You know, that students will need in extra expenses, you know, because there are, you know, some kids commute from back and forth from campus, and when that happens, you know, you're buying your own meals, and you know, it becomes a whole, you know, a whole different thing for, you know, your upperclassmen at the college level. But you know, for the most part, you know, I think that these kids, in too many cases, are starting at a lot of these institutions, and they're not finishing. They're not getting degrees, you know. But the schools are making billions of dollars. Now it's been reported that some of the larger conferences will be making will be getting an additional $14 billion, you know, in TV contracts, and the NCAA is giving, you know, a very small percentage of those dollars, you know, towards, you know, the students. So I don't know. I have a problem with that. You know, that to me is you know, someone's becoming very, very wealthy, you know, while these kids are, you know, pretty much putting their life on hold to get an education and enjoy themselves as well, you know. But I think that they should benefit in some other ways other than just getting these dollars or no dollars, you know, from you know, the NCAA.
You know, that's a very, very good point. And, you know, one thing that you said a second ago there, Rob, and I really want to stress this with the parents, you know, as he mentioned, the kids are actually paying, are actually signing a contract. Now, let's think about it from this perspective. How many 17, 18-year-old young men and women are business savvy enough to understand the details of signing a contract? You know, but these coaches have been out here for a number of years and very, very business savvy. You know, the knowledge of sales and recruiting and all that kind of stuff, they know what to do to get your child's attention. So you got to realize that they're actually signing a contract. That's why I encourage parents to stay involved, stay engaged in what's going on in the recruiting process. You got anything else to add, Rob?
Since you mentioned that, I'd like to also say, you know, that this whole contract perspective, when these kids get into the contract agreements, they do need some sort of representation. You know, I know that people have, you know, people take advantage of these kids when they're young, okay? But they have to come up with another method to represent these kids to make sure that, you know, these kids are aware of what they're getting into. And they know what the parameters are and what the scope will be, you know, once they sign this contract. Now I know that this is not clear to these kids, because a 17-year-old just will not understand what go into these contracts and what's expected of them and termination agreements and you know those types of things. You know, so I think, you know, the representation at some point, at some level, should come from somewhere, you know, for these students. And I think the NCAA and parents as well should do more to ensure that their child graduates, you know, with a degree that is going to afford them the opportunity to get some sort of career that is going to allow them to, you know, pretty much make a living.
You know, I'm glad you brought up that point as far as them making sure that they graduate. You know, I honestly believe that they should have looked at going back to at least a minimum of 2 years that these athletes have to stay in college before they're able to leave. You know, this one-and-done thing is not doing any justice for anybody but making somebody else a little bit more richer on the other side of things. If they made sure that they stayed in school at a minimum of 2 years, you know, they could at least come out with some type of solid education, you know, just short of maybe a few classes of graduating or whatever, but they'll be a whole lot better off if they stayed at a minimum of 2 years, if they had it so that they can leave early. Now, in my personal opinion, you don't leave early. You stay your whole entire time. You do your four or whatever, and then you move on from there. But if they want to go down to that early out, then make it a minimum of 2 years. And when you talked about the point of someone to represent these kids, or so, that's why I try to encourage these parents to be more involved in the process. Because with the parents being a little bit more savvy on what the recruiting process is all about, they're a little bit more able to advise their children. Because what we have to really watch out for, and I think this is one of the things they talk about when they talk about the summer recruiting program for basketball, they talk about all these other folks that was involved in the process that was steering the kids in the wrong direction for their own personal gain. You know, I'm quite sure you probably experienced that and seen some of that happening in some places where you've been and some of the kids that you have observed over the years. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I have been around a particular AAU program that's gotten a lot of kids in school. And, you know, the program has been pretty responsible up to this point. And I think at some point it has to be relationship between that program and the parent. And the parent has to be involved, like you say, to a point where they're educating themselves through a program like your program here or a AAU program that has an education extension to it. And I think if the kids are going to be successful, you know, they have to collaborate and look at what's best for the students. Now, the parent is ultimately responsible for what happens, but it's just unfortunate that a lot of parents don't have a clue when it comes to what has to occur in order to get their kid at that level, playing at that level, getting them a good contract, you know, with the university, and seeing it through to make sure that their child graduates from that particular institution. So parent is key here. I don't think that anyone should be able to take care or take advantage of a child when you have a knowledgeable parent that's in place. So I think that your program is key in terms of educating these parents, and hopefully, you know, programs like this that you're doing will expand, and parents will engage in your education, and pretty much learn what it's going to take, you know, to make sure that their child can make a living for itself once all this is all done.
You know exactly that, Rob, and you know. We're winding down here on time, but I think you got a lot more that you want to add to the conversation. And if so, I'm going to even decide to pop back up the next half hour so we can come back on again and talk for some more. What do you think about that?
That'll be fine with me.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get ready to wind down here, and I'll come back up again at 12:30, and we'll continue on our conversation.
That,
you know, all right. Catch me in a few minutes.
Sure. I'll talk to you then.
All right. You know, this has been the Parent Culture Parent Network, and as always, I'm going to tune down with my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and then come back up here in a few minutes, and we're going to continue this conversation. We get some great insight from a former student athlete and a parent of a current athlete. So, going to get our chance to really dig into this thing a little bit more. So come back to us next half hour, man. We're going to hear a little bit more.
People talk about me, but that ain't no thanks. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I could see what I can be bald, would do the same. I can't complain. The situation that I'm in. And different connections turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the form, I'm out the pen.